Father God, we thank you for this glorious day that you have made. I want to thank you for all your goodness, your blessing and provision to us. Our Lord, we thank you for the gift of your word, and we pray now that by your Holy Spirit, you would give us eyes to see your word, give us hearts to believe your word, and give us hands and feet to put it into practice. Lord, be with us now, we pray, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Would you please be seated? Now, you don't need me to tell you that sometimes names can be very important. Names can be very dear to people, especially if you have perhaps an obscure middle name and people are always asking you why you call that. And you have great joy in telling them it's because my great-grandfather, my great-uncle were called by that name. Some people choose a very common name. Other people choose names which are rather more exotic. The wonderfully named man called Harry Wallop, he collects birth announcements from British papers and occasionally publishes some of his favourites. Let me just share with you some of these. These come from the birth pages of some of our national papers. Zebedee Ebenezer J, a brother for Clementine, Florence and Badger. A daughter, Electra Esmeralda, a little sister for Dorothy, Wulfstan and Cleopatra. Or my favourite, Lachlan, a son, Rafferty Rocket, a brother for Katrina and Archie. Can you imagine shouting out Rafferty Rocket, come in for your tea? Names can be very difficult. Of course, they often have historical connections. Back in the 17th century, the Puritans, often with their deep biblical reasons, give their children some very strange names. There's the famous Barebone family. They call some of their children Praise God and his brother Fear God. They also had a son, and this is the true name of the son. If Christ had not died for thee, thou must be damned. Strange enough, he liked to call himself Nicholas. There was also a damned Barebone, and his brother Jesus Christ came into the world to save Barebone. There was another boy called Die Well, another one called Joy in Sorrow. Names mean something, and I'm sure most of us know what our name actually means. And in the Bible, as somebody is given a name, it says something about their character and their personality. We often find it in the Bible, when a name is changed, it means that this person has come into a deeper relationship with God. Abram becomes Abraham. Jacob becomes Israel. Simon becomes Peter the Rock. Of course, in Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, the angel Gabriel comes down to the young girl, Mary. And what does he say? Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus. Now, Jesus is another form of the name Joshua, which means God saves. And that tells us so much about who Jesus is. God saves. And it's hugely significant that in the Bible, God reveals himself by a name. Often we say it Yahweh, or Jehovah. He's the Almighty God, not just one God amongst many. He's the one true living God. Now, do you remember that amazing story in Exodus chapter 3? Moses sees in the wilderness a burning bush, but it is not consumed, it is not burned up. And as he goes closer, he hears a voice. And eventually Moses says to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. That is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. You see, the God that's represented here is a personal God. He reveals himself to Moses through his name, and we see something of his character and personality. This is not God like a life force that we have in Star Wars. This is the Almighty God who wants us to come into relationship with Him. Every man, woman, and child, they should know God personally. Now, what does it mean for us to know God personally? It means we know His likes and dislikes, what He wants for us. We'd even go deeper into relationship with Him. Now, all this is just an introduction to our second series, our second sermon in the series, looking at the Lord's Prayer. A few weeks ago, we saw the beginning, Our Father in Heaven. The extraordinary privilege it is to be adopted into the family of God and to call ourselves children, and He is our Father. And this morning, we're looking at the next phrase, Hallowed be your name. Or as the more modern translations put it, may your name be honored or held holy. And as we pray that, hallowed be your name, we're not in some sense making God holy. We're simply recognizing that God is holy. If we deeply honor and respect God's name, we're also honoring who He is and what He has done for us in His Son, Jesus. The name signifies the person. If you honor one, you honor the other. So when we pray this together, your name be hallowed. It's a reminder for all of us to recognize who God is in His holiness, in His purity. Now, in our secular age, the idea of a holiness of God probably comes in for a lot of ridicule and mockery. I sometimes hear people saying, just God wait. Just wait till I go and see God, and I'll give Him a piece of my mind. No, you won't. God is a God of blazing holiness and of purity. He created us. If He just withheld His love for us from just a second, a millisecond, we would cease to exist. God is a God of blazing holiness. We don't tell God what to do. We don't tell Him off. The danger, I think, is that we bring God down to our level. The danger is that we invent a God who's safe. He's domesticated. He's tame. He fits into nice categories that we can just box up and safely manage. The danger is that we construct an idol in our mind, a God of our own imagination that has very little to do with the God of the Bible and of the whole Christian tradition. We sometimes say to ourselves and say to others, I can't possibly believe in a God that believes this. Or I can't possibly follow God if He has done this. The danger is that we make a God in our own image. We make an idol. Let's be honest, sometimes it's very, very hard, isn't it, to accept the picture of God that we have in the Bible. But hallowed be your name. That's a prayer to recognize God for who He truly is. But what does holy really mean? Well, it means being separate, being distinct, being different. About 2,500 years ago, the prophet Isaiah was given a vision of the very throne room of heaven, and we had it read for us today in our first reading. Isaiah has this wonderful image of the throne room of heaven, these angelic creatures, and they're all calling to one another, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. And then fast forward another 600 years, and John the Apostle, he's on Patmos, he's writing the book of Revelation, and he too has a vision. Day and night they never stop saying, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. You see, it's the same idea. Old Testament, New Testament, whether it's Isaiah or John, the holiness of God comes to the front of our minds. You see, God is unlike the sinful, broken world that we inhabit. He's far beyond all our tarnished aspirations and our selfish ambitions. And in the Old Testament, there's minute details of worship. And many, many chapters of the Old Testament are full of the details of how we worship, right down to the tassels that are on the edge of the priest's garment as he goes into the temple. I am so glad this morning when I looked in the mirror to get dressed, I didn't have to worry about the size of my tassels on the end of my clothes. You see, the new covenant, When Christ came, it has changed things, hugely changed. You see, the point that Israel is trying to be told in Israel in the Old Testament was that they had to be distinct and different from the people around them. But when Jesus came, everything changed. The old idea of holiness and ritual was now much more about what's in our hearts. What's our attitudes? What are we really thinking about? What are we really believing? Done away with was the old covenant of priest and temple and sacrifice. Even the old food laws were no longer applicable. And Jesus comes to us. A holy God came down to our world and lived amongst us. And those old rituals shattered by the love of Jesus. He touches the unclean lepers to bring healing. He lays his hand on dead bodies only to raise them to life. He's breaking away with all these old laws of purity. And so in Jesus we see a holy God. He was without sin, but also a God who comes down to our level and lives with us. And don't we need both as we worship God? A holy God of blazing purity and righteousness, yet somebody who will come down, put his arm around us and say, I love you. A God who is near to us, but also a God who is also very different from us. And on the cross we see both sides of God's character. Because God is pure and holy, he can't accept the sinful world we live in. He must do something about it. But the punishment's taken from us and placed on Jesus instead. And in a few moments' time, as we take the bread and wine in our hands, very powerful reminders that Jesus did it for us. We don't have to try and work to be better to get into God's good books. He has done it all for us. We are made holy, not because we're holy in ourselves, but because Jesus covers us in holiness today. So when we pray, hallowed be your name, we're recognizing the authority and power of God. It's the equivalent of bowing our knee and recognizing who he really is. And at some point, we're all faced with a very personal challenge. What are we personally going to do to recognize the holiness of God? Now, surely if we have any integrity as a Christian, we must never blaspheme or swear in the name of God. Remember the third commandment, don't take the name of the Lord God in vain. It still shocks me when I hear Christians misusing the name of God in their normal language. If we're saying the name of God and the character of God are completely linked, we've got to be careful about how we use our language. What about in the whole realm of ethics and morality? Will we uphold the dignity of human life right from conception, right through to death? What about in the whole issue of human relationships? What happens if it's very unpopular to follow God's standards today? Are we concerned with the name of God when we see the terrible scandals and disunity in the Christian church? If we're praying, hallowed be your name, that we should be concerned when people who are created in the image of God we see being abused and mistreated. We should care when we see other human beings being downtrodden and being abused. And if we're saying we're respecting the holiness of God, it must mean a practical difference to our lives. If we are to be holy, we're to be distinct and separate people from the ways of people around us. Yes, we might dress the same, we might eat the same food, but we must be holy, different beliefs, different attitudes, as we follow God in heaven today. And as we continue to pray the Lord's Prayer, may we have a renewed vision of the glory and holiness of God. And may we never tire of acknowledging together, hallowed be his name. I'm going to ask us to have just a few moments in quietness and in prayer. And perhaps we know there's areas of our lives that are not pleasing before God. When God calls us to be holy, we know there's areas that need to be worked on. And let's allow the Holy Spirit to change our lives and to give us the strength to change. So a moment of quietness, and then we pray. Father, we come before you as your people today, and you shine your light of your holy life into our lives. And Lord, you know the things in our lives which are not right, the things which are displeasing to you. Lord, I pray that even this week, by your Holy Spirit, you would give us the strength to change, to become more and more like you. We thank you for your holiness, for your glory, and for your righteousness. We thank you that as we worship you today, our heavenly worship gets brought up with all the angelic beings in heaven. Lord, we thank you for your holiness. And we pray that you would help us to be holy too. In the name of Jesus Christ, who is your Son and our Lord. Amen.